Thank you very much.
And thanks for having me here. I love talking about the concepts and the traditions. I actually have some screen slides to go. I should say, I am an alcoholic. My name is Hugh H. My sobriety date is August 18th, 1992, and my home group is the Top of the Hill group in Germantown, which is a section of Philadelphia. So I will now share the presentation. We already heard this part. Concept one, the final responsibility and ultimate authority for AA World Services should always reside in the collective conscience of our whole fellowship. Just a few words about the concepts in general, in case anybody is not familiar with these. This is from Bill W.'s 12 Concepts for World Service, the introduction on page C1 of the service manual. The why of concepts. The 12 concepts for world service are an interpretation of AA's world service structure. They reveal the revolution by which it has arrived in its present form, and they detail the experience and reasoning on which our operation stands today. These concepts therefore aim to record the why of our service structure in such a fashion that the highly valuable experience of the past and the lessons we have drawn from that experience can never be forgotten or lost. Just a personal observation. There are a number of places in the 12 concepts, none that I know of in the first concept, but in the other concepts where the writing hasn't really kept up with the way that the conference structure operates these days. There was recently a decision by the General Service Conference to remove two paragraphs from Concept 11 that was rather demeaning to women in the modern day. But there are other places where it talks about why we do what we do that isn't really the same that as the things that we do today. That's just a caution as we're studying the concepts. It's my understanding, mostly from talking with our area's original Panel 69 delegate, who helped introduce the 12 concepts to Latvia, that the General Service Office encourages other services structures to adapt the 12 concepts to their nations or their service structure, their customs, their local customs and culture. This is, I think, one reason why our concepts are not afforded the same protections against change that the tradition steps and warranties are. In order to make any changes to the steps or the traditions or the warranties in step 12 and in our charter, conference charter, we have to have a three-quarters vote in favor after notifying all the known groups in the whole world and making sure that they know that we're having this. We give them 6 months to get back to us. Whoever we is, not quite sure who we is. And it takes a three-quarters vote of all those who respond to that in order to make any of those changes. When I was delegate, there was a advisory action to broaden our 11th tradition a little bit to include TV and public and internet. But it never even made it to the conference floor, mostly, I think, because it's seen as too difficult to even attempt, which I think is kind of unfortunate because I would like to see that 11th tradition be a little more broad. There are different versions of this slide. This is my own version of it. These 12 concepts fall into these categories in my opinion. The first five of them are like a bill of rights for AA groups. The top of the structure, the top of the triangle is the AA groups, and that is not the individual members, it's the home groups. And these are rights that we have up and down the service structure, but particularly for the groups to exercise their rights in being in charge, in having control of the General Service Conference, exercising the rights of decision, participation, and appeal. The next three describe the relationship between the General Service Conference and the Board of Trustees. And then the 9th, 10th, and 11th are a narrative description of how the board operates in order to carry out the wishes of the General Service Conference. And the last one are the warranties themselves, which are sometimes called a Bill of Rights, too. They're basically a bunch of guarantees that ensure that we don't get too rich, we don't get to give anyone too much power, that we remain democratic in thought and action, that there's no personal punitive action taken, there's no government, those things. In the service manual, there are three forms. Well, I don't know if they're forms, but there are three things that kind of summarize the first concept. And the short form and the long form are pretty much similar. Final responsibility and ultimate authority for AA World Services should always reside in the collective conscience of our whole fellowship. I think the difference is one word, the. And in the table of contents, which is kind of a summary, I think, of what Bill was thinking about, says the ultimate responsibility for AA World Services belongs to the AA groups. Yes, there's one word difference between the long and short, and that word is the. What are world services? And this again is from concept one in the 12 concepts for world service by Bill W. He said, helped by dedicated friends, people like, I can't remember his name, the chairman of the board back then, Bernard Smith, who was very influential and helpful in setting this whole structure up. Helped by those friends, Dr. Bob and I had commenced work upon a world service structure. Our first step was the creation of a trusteeship for AA as a whole. We called this body the Alcoholic Foundation. And today, the name of the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous. They designed that trusteeship to inaugurate and maintain all the special elements of overall service activity, which make it possible for our society to function as a whole. And they really envisioned services around the world, including things like translation, carrying the message to other countries. But the General Service Conference and the corporations that are involved under the Board of Trustees of Alcoholics Anonymous really are controlled by the groups in the U.S. and Canada. And I know there's been some dissatisfaction in other parts of the world that they don't really have a say in some of the things that we do in the U.S. and Canada. That's a completely separate topic, but this was designed to function as a society, to a fellowship, a service structure, whatever you want to call it, to help AA around the world, to get help the still suffering alcoholic, wherever he or she might be. Bill also said they envisioned the writing of the uniform AA literature, which became the big book, the development of a sound public relations policy, which is described by our 11th tradition and is basically promotion, not attraction rather than promotion, as well as anonymity, and a way of handling the large numbers of pleas for help that might follow in the wake of national and international publicity. And there certainly has been a lot of that over the years. He says that they thought in terms of aiding new groups to form and of furnishing them with counsel based on the experience of the already successful groups, which is an excellent description of what the traditions are. And just in passing, you know, sometimes I hear people say that the steps are for preventing suicide, the traditions for preventing homicide, and the concepts for preventing genocide, which I don't really find very helpful. But I have a friend who says that the steps are for stopping drinking and starting living a healthy spiritual life. The traditions are the way we avoid unnecessary controversy, and the concepts are the way we deal with controversy that is necessary to the functioning of AA. And I like that a lot. Finally, Bill says, we thought there would be need for a monthly magazine, which is the AA Grapevine, of course, and also for translations of our literature into other languages. There is a fund, which is very limited in who can contribute to it. And they have translated over the years into the big book, I think, is in over 80 different languages at this point. And they also do a lot of pamphlets and other types of literature. The history. 1938, the Alcoholic Fund was established. It was administered by one of the Rockefeller folks, Frank Amos, and he was used the money to pay Bill Wilson, Hank Parkhurst, Fritz, I shouldn't be using their last names, even though we all know who they are, Bill W., Hank P., and Fritz M., and shortly thereafter, Bob S. And in August of that year, they created the Alcoholic Foundation to replace the Alcoholic Fund, because the Alcoholic Fund was really just a checking account associated with Riverside Church in New York. In 1948, Dr. Bob was diagnosed with a fatal illness, and Bill started asking, what's going to happen when Bill and Bob are both gone? Who would advise the trustees and the General Service Office? And the answer, Bill thought, was to be found in the collective conscience of AA groups. But how could a bunch of widely scattered autonomous groups exercise such responsibility? This is drawn mostly from 12 concepts illustrated. In 48 to 50, there was a lot of resistance by the trustees and members who were devoted to the status quo, but eventually Bill managed to sell the idea of calling an AA General Service Conference as a five-year experiment, which started in 1951, and they held five of them through 51, 52, 53, 54, and 55. And at that conference in 55, they adopted the general service structure at the International Convention in St. Louis, which there are many interesting tapes of. Also in 1954, the Alcoholic Foundation was renamed to the General Service Board. In 1961, Bill said, now that the conference is in its second decade, we find that our former fears of the troubles a conference might get involved in were largely groundless. The results of the conference exceeded our highest expectations. It now stands proven that the AA groups can and will take the final responsibility for their world services. I really like that 12 concepts illustrated. I think part of my contract is that I have to mention that as a useful tool in the general service structure in AA, and it certainly is, very much so. The groups assumed that responsibility for the whole fellowship at the International in 1955, and there, on behalf of Dr. Bob and the trustees and AA's old-time leaders, Bill made the transfer of world service responsibility to the whole fellowship. This trustee was designed to inaugurate and maintain all of those special services for AA as a whole that could not well be performed by single groups or areas. Imagine if each group or each inner group or each district or each area even had to come up with its own literature. It would be really, really hard to maintain that singleness of purpose and to have a consistent message throughout AA. In fact, one of the things I concluded after serving as a delegate on behalf of my area was that the single most important function that the conference serves is to make sure that what's in our literature is the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. Bill says there were other reasons for the basic shift of ultimate responsibility and authority at AA as a whole. And they center around tradition too, which I trust you all know says that there's one ultimate authority for group purpose, and that's a loving God as he may express himself in the group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And although it doesn't say it in the form of tradition of twos, when they talk about a group conscience, there's two things that I always like to point out. One is that it should be an informed group conscience. Unless we have all the information that there is to be had on a particular topic, we still need to do more research. And the other thing is it's a group conscience. It's not a group opinion. And the difference between a group and opinion is that between a conscience and an opinion is that a conscience has to do with what's right and what's wrong. When we're speaking about what's right and wrong for AA, there's a single question that I think has to be asked at every level when we're making decisions, and that is, how is this going to help the still suffering alcoholic? And I think we could avoid a lot of unnecessary conflict and being sidetracked by making sure we know the answer to that question at all times. Like all the traditions, Tradition 2 is the voice of experience. Based on the trials of thousands of groups in our pioneering times, the main principles of Tradition 2 are crystal clear. The AA groups are to be the final authority, and their leaders are to be entrusted with delegated responsibilities only. Twelve Concepts Illustrated also talks about the structure of what the conference structure is. It's an upside down organization because that ultimate responsibility and final authority resides in the groups rather than with the trustees of the General Service Board or the General Service Office in New York. You know, there's a lot of confusion among many AAs about what the distinctions are between those, whatever they are in New York. According to the laws of the state of New York, the 21 members, or soon to be 22 members of the General Service Board of Trustees, they are legally Alcoholics Anonymous, and they're a self-perpetuating membership corporation. So they elect their own successors. And in a legal sense, they're in charge of everything. It's only by the traditional rights that we maintain in AA that they don't just go off and do whatever they want. In fact, there are times, some of the other concepts describe times when it may be necessary for them to go and do something. For example, if the conference directed them to do something that was illegal against the law, or directed them to do something that we don't have the money to do, then they have the right to step in and make sure that we live in the real world. But generally, that isn't what happens. What happens generally is they take all the recommendations that come out of the General Service Conference very seriously. And when they're advisory actions, they're more or less required by tradition to implement them. they even take recommendations which don't quite have the force of the advisory actions, which the advisory actions do, but they're still taken very seriously by the groups in New York. And the groups in New York, General Service Board generally meets in New York, and they have two corporations, which they control by having various of their members sit on the boards of these two corporations. So both AA World Services and the AA Grapevine, which are the two corporations under the General Service Board, they each have a fair number of trustees that rotate year to year on those boards. And they include people like the editor of the Grapevine on the AA Grapevine Inc. board, the general manager of GSO on the AA World Services board. And so anything that's not the AA Grapevine, which is a self-supporting organization, falls under the Alcoholics Anonymous World Service Corporation. And GSO is part of that corporation. So that's the relationship between those entities that we generally think of as being New York. There's a concepts checklist, which you can download from the AA website. I'll just run through them quickly. Does our group have a general service representative? Do we feel that our home group is part of AA as a whole, and do our group's decisions and actions reflect that? And, you know, that's probably the number one thing that I look for when I am looking for a home group. I had a really great home group for 20 some years, but the last time we held a group inventory, we decided that we were really more of a social club than we were an AA group, because we weren't really attracting newcomers, or if they did come, they didn't stay. And so while we loved each other and we loved talking to each other, we decided it's really not right to call it an AA group. So I defined a new group and a new home group. And this is one of the things that attracted me, was they have a very active GSR, a lot of people who know how all this works, and they're involved. Do we hold regular group conscience meetings, encouraging everyone to participate? I don't think I would join a home group that wasn't having monthly business meetings or group conscience meetings, and encouraging everybody that's eligible to participate to be there. And we definitely pass on the conscience to the district area and local intergroup meetings through the IGR. Is the collective conscience of Alcoholics Anonymous at work in my home group, in my district, in my area? I'm improvising here a little bit. I have a presentation like this on Tradition 1, which talks about unity. And one of the points I make in that is that the group conscience at any level, whether it's the home group, the district, the area, the intergroup, or World Services, that is the collective conscience of whatever group of people that involves. And I don't feel it's right for me, at least, to use my own personal conscience as a substitute for the collective conscience. So that if we decide at my home group that we're going to, I want to pick a better example than that. When the preamble was changed, there were some people in my home group that didn't like what had happened. But we decided as a group that in order to abide by the conscience of Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole, as expressed in our General Service Conference, we really should be using the updated preamble. So that's what we did. Where do we fit in the upside down triangle of AA? I hope everybody knows they're at the top and they're in charge. Unfortunately, most areas have a very low rate of participation of groups in the general service structure. And are we willing to do what it takes to ensure that our democracy of world service will work under all conditions? I guess that's something that is constantly being tested by the things that come up in AA, the controversies and the disagreements.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.